I was thinking last night as I drove to a Christmas Eve gathering with my family, and then even today, just realizing how many shops and stores are closed, just that whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, or whatever you believe about Jesus Christ, he changes your life at least for 2 days every year in most places of the world. The fact that he came changes everything. Now, we do a lot of things to cover up what we're facing, but the fact is, Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago, came, was born into this world. And we are here today celebrating that reality. Now, of course, we know that this was not the day that Jesus came. This is a day that we have set aside in history to celebrate his birthday, but this day in December is not actually his birthday. We know that, right? Now, there was no snow laying around the manger at that time. It was actually quite temperate weather, actually probably very much like we have this Christmas, which is somewhat unusual, and we're enjoying it. Yesterday, I thought, yeah, this is the first time in a long time that I've been going almost wondering if I should just put on short sleeves. I had my Crocs on last night. I had just a shirt on, no sweater or anything, and it was rather unique, probably more realistic to when he was born. We could talk about many things on this Christmas day, but let me just today focus us in on this matter of giving gifts, this matter of giving gifts. A gift is something that somebody gives to another person to express something that's in their heart. And even that sometimes is distorted in this Christmas holiday. It's not uncommon for Christians and non-Christians alike to feel an external compulsion to give gifts, or an external pressure to give a certain level of expensive gifts to people just to keep up and just to present yourself in a certain way. I trust the gifts that you give this Christmas do come out of a genuine heart, expressing some genuine thoughts for the person that you're giving the gift to. I've arrived at a place in my life where I'm very thankful for whatever presents I receive at Christmas. I really am. But I actually enjoy the giving more than I do the receiving. I don't have to get anything for Christmas. I just like watching the smiles on the faces of my children and my spouse as they receive. Because I'm expressing something in the gift. I'm expressing thought. I'm expressing some work, some effort, some love, some compassion. Well, here in this passage before us that we've read today, Luke, in Luke chapter 2, we read that the wise men, or Matthew chapter 2, the wise men came in verse 11, and these three men, without names being given, gave gifts. Now, let me read a quote to you from a Bible commentary. A man writes, he says, in the Old Testament, faithful Israelites proved their superior faith to foreign magicians in various places. Of course, you have the example of Moses and Aaron coming to Pharaoh. Remember that occasion? And you remember the miracles that they performed, and there was a period of time where the magicians would perform the same miracles, right? And there, you do have several occasions in the Old Testament where you have the Israelites and the magicians, the wise men of the pagan kings doing things. And in all of these cases, in the Old Testament, the Jewish faithful, the prophets, the Moses and Aarons, they always win. They always get the upper hand. God always intervenes for them to his glory. But here in Matthew 2, ironically, this man writes, the tables are turned. Because as Jesus, God himself, the deliverer, comes into this world as a human being to save us from our sins, he stands before kings. The message of his birth arrives before Herod, the local king. And he is turned away by his own people. The Jews reject him. They don't even give him a place to stay for the night. And it's at the same time that three magicians from a foreign nation travel hundreds of miles to see him. And in this passage, ironically, the magicians win. They get something that the Jewish people did not get. That this baby who was born is from God. and this baby who was born came to fulfill prophecy. It's a remarkable thing when people who come from other places, when we should know something, reveal to us something that we should have known. The Jews here really should take a lesson from these pagan magicians, really, as they did come into, I believe, as you study their history, real revelation from Scripture. And they came to faith in the Messiah, though they were not Jews, and that faith drove them hundreds of miles to see Jesus. And they gave him gifts. Not just any gifts, mind you. Another man writes this, that the gifts used to honor this new king were typically associated with royalty. Because Matthew has not yet introduced the theme of Jesus' death yet, it is not likely that he is strongly implying death here. Of course, it is possible that myrrh, as Brother Vlad mentioned, was representing the embalming that would occur. Nothing in the gospel has mentioned death yet. And so we do have to be careful not to read too much into these gifts, because they don't explicitly tell us things. I can say one thing that is said very clearly is that they gave very expensive gifts. Gold, then as now, was a precious metal prized for its beauty and value. And I'll tell you, if I gave my wife, she's not asked for this and I can't afford this, but if I gave her a lump of gold the size of my two hands today and I said, here you go, honey, here's a gold brick that you can invest in case the treasury goes bad this year. That would be pretty pricey, a gold brick. They presented raw, pure gold. That's expensive. Not only that, they presented him with frankincense and myrrh. Both were fragrant spices. Really, they came from the sap that came out of various trees, the myrrh tree and the frankincense tree. These were very prized and precious spices that were used in various settings, whether in priestly worship or all kinds of things, really. These were very expensive scents. These were not purchased on Junction Boulevard. These were purchased at the priciest places you could find. In fact, they were imported. These gifts were expensive, imported luxury items. And I don't know what's going to be given out in your family today, but probably in a group like ours, without many high corporate CEOs represented here, there are probably not many large, expensive, luxurious, opulent, foreign imported items like gold and these kind of spices being given today. We'll give some technological gifts, maybe produced by Mac or Garmin or Rolex or something like this, but not these kind of gifts. These foreign strangers traveled hundreds of miles to go to give gifts to a baby that his own people rejected. And they gave him the top of the line. Can you imagine this little baby laying there? And you know what a little baby looks like, right? Helpless, small, not fully developed, and everyone says they're cute, I know, but no one really believes that. They're not. They're ugly. Saj says, I agree. Thank you, Pastor. They are, so let's just be honest about it. They're ugly. Generally speaking, if someone doesn't know that you're giving them a gift, do you waste much money on the gift? No, right? You have to pay attention to your gifts when people know what things cost, when people know a little bit more, right? But a young baby doesn't care what you said in front of them. In fact, I told our kids, this is Samuel's first Christmas actually knowing what's going on. And in fact, I haven't bought any presents for Noah. He's 1 month old. He doesn't care if he gets a present. But they gave these expensive gifts to this baby. Why? Because this baby was significant. I don't know of another story like this in history, in mythology or anything. And maybe there is one, but I don't know of one. Now, of course, the man that I read to you here, he said that these people got it. These three kings got what the rest of the Jewish people didn't get. And they gave what the rest of the Jewish people didn't provide. They didn't even provide him with a place to sleep, hardly. And these kings gave him opulent gifts. But did they get it? Is that what Jesus wanted? He certainly desired recognition as the king of the universe for who he was and is. But is what Jesus wants, does he really want luxurious, opulent, foreign, imported luxury items? Is that what Jesus wants from us? Today at church, have we encouraged you, bring your most expensive jewelry and lay it at the front? Now, there may be churches that try to pull that off. We're not going to be one of them. Because that really, ultimately, is not what Jesus wants. What does Jesus want? Well, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 tells us, first of all, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He just wants to get back what he lost. And what did he lose? He lost you. Because you chose to leave him. You say, really? Yes. This is true for all of us. He made every last one of us because he doesn't want gifts. He wants you. He made you because he wants you. But there's a problem in all of us called sin. We're a malfunctioning present. We're something that he made. We made a wrong choice to sin. We continue to do that. We have separated ourselves from him, and he wants us back. But the sin problem has to be fixed before he can have us back. And so he fixed the sin problem for us by coming into this world, becoming one of us, and dying for us. His death was your death. His resurrection was your resurrection. He went through all of that instead of you. So if you put your trust in him, he gives you the gift of everlasting life. You can stop trying to get better. You can stop working hard. You can stop going to church to make God like you. You can stop following old traditions and so forth. Because none of these things impress God at all. No more than these presents, these opulent gifts that were given. And let me tell you, if you've never given to Jesus piles of gold and expensive luxury items, these three kings are far ahead of you. And those gifts didn't save them anyway. God doesn't want our rituals and our good behaviors. They're not good enough. He just wants you. And if you'll let go of everything else and trust what Jesus says about himself, you give him the gift that he desires, yourself, and he saves you, and he takes away your sin, and he gives you everlasting life. The Bible says in Romans, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you received the gift of everlasting life that Jesus came to provide by simple trust in him? If not, today is a wonderful day to give in to what he's already been talking to you about in your heart. I know it. If you've grown up in America for any length of time at all, you've heard this message in some form, at some point, in some part at least. And God is working. He's drawing you. You do not need to be convinced. You just need to give in. And if you give in, he will give you his life and will come in to your heart and save you forever. What a Christmas that would be. But when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the giving only begins. It's kind of like when I was a young child, my mother, one of the things you could give her was jewelry. She did not like big jewelry or fancy jewelry, but petite little nice jewelry is what she liked. And so I remember my dad was a preacher, but he was also a full-time diesel mechanic. He worked on the diesel engines in a bus charter shop, and his hands were all cracked and filled with grease that would never come out. Black cracks in his hands, just very manly, masculine type hands. And I remember my dad going, and just sometimes he'd just have his mechanic stuff on, just from work, just having gotten out of work, and he'd go into the fine mall section. He looked like a duck out of water. He looked like he didn't belong there. He'd walk into some special jewelry shop, and he'd walk up there, and he had his cracked, greasy, dark hands, and he'd go up, and he'd, so how much is this? He'd point at something. He said, my wife's birthstone is topaz. I think that I'm actually right on that, I think. Topaz. And I'd watch him, and they'd take out a little box for him, and he'd look at it, and he'd hold that in his hands. It looked so out of place. And he'd hold up this fine little locket up in the light, and it looked so out of place. And he'd put it back in, he'd set it down, he'd look at another one, and my dad would, this would be a ritual, maybe once a year, and he'd find something new for my mother. And then he'd lay that thing, he'd say, this is it, I want this. And he'd be so happy as he gave her her new piece of jewelry. But you know what? One piece of jewelry leads to another. And another, right? Dad was smart. He didn't do it all at once. He had to know what to buy the next year, so he set the plan in motion. The next year, he would go back, and he'd have to move from the necklace to the matching earrings. Now, it wasn't so bad that he bought one earring at a time, okay? He bought the pair. But you move the earrings then to the matching bracelet the next year, right? And then you move to something else. When Jesus Christ saves a person, he makes something very special happen. He removes the burden from off of you. You no longer feel the need to have to do anything more. And yet, you desire to do more, not because you have to, but because you want to. When he gives you the gift of himself and eternal life, he gives you the ability to continue giving back to him the very grace that he gave to you. You just keep giving back to him what he gives to you. And so today, let us focus for just a few minutes in conclusion here on this fact that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, there are some gifts that Jesus would like from you this coming year. Some of you, if you've been paying attention, would recall this comes from a message I preached a few weeks ago. And if you don't remember, I'm reminding you again. The first gift, and this is in your notes, that you can give to Jesus is the gift of your body. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is a gift that you can give to Jesus if he has saved you from sin? Not luxury items, not expensive imported jewelry, not piles and lumps of gold bricks. He says, just give me your body. And what does that mean? It means you say, Lord, I'm going to use my body for what you want it to be used for now. I'm going to set my whole self aside and say, I'm yours. Now, it's possible that children at Christmas time get things like action figures, right? And Legos and things of this nature, little dolls. And that when you get this thing, you kind of want this thing that you own now to do what it's supposed to do, right? Can you imagine if, girls, if you got a doll for Christmas, you held it and it slaps you in the face? That would be really bad. Or you take a little Lego thing, and the Lego thing just kind of falls apart. Every time you stand it up, it falls down and falls down. What is that? You get a little action figure, and every time you get it, the head pops off. That would be very annoying. Jesus saves us from sin. He makes us his children. He owns us and deserves to own us. And what is that when we don't do with our bodies what we're supposed to do? We don't honor him with the way that we present ourselves, the way that we conduct ourselves. We don't speak the way he would have us speak. We don't serve the way he would have us serve. We don't give him our bodies. It's like him getting the gift that doesn't behave properly. Now, he's still glad to save us, but we need to give him the gift of our bodies. The second gift that he desires from us, Romans 15:16, the gift of the gospel. This is the people that you reach with the gospel, are gifts back to God. Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up, that's the giving, of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Who in your life has been reached through your lips for the gospel? Is there anyone in your life who did not know Jesus Christ as Savior, but today knows Him as Savior because of your witness, because of what you have said to them, because of some actions that you have taken in their lives that have convinced them that this is real? Oh, maybe perhaps not because you were so smart and intelligent and won them to the gospel with your intellect, but because you were real. You really loved Jesus, and they could tell this was not a religion for you. This was a real relationship with God, and that's what they want. That's what they need. And your life and your message won them to the gospel. That's a gift. And Jesus says, I don't need gold and fancy items from you. I own all of that anyway. But if your life can take the gift of my life and cause it to make a difference in someone else's life as well, they come to me and they join the family of God, that's a gift I desire. And if you've never been able to give that gift to the Lord, say, Lord, help me to tell someone about the gospel and help them to get saved. Help me to give that gift. The gift of the body, the gift of the gospel. Number three, giving him the gift of serving others. Philippians 2:17. Paul says, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. What is this? It's depending on God to enable you to genuinely serve others. Do you depend on God to genuinely serve others? Oh, today is a day to do that. You could start at the very basic level and you could say, you know what? Instead of just sitting around and playing with my toys after Christmas, I'm going to ask my mother if I can go wash the dishes. And I'm not going to feel like it, but I'm going to ask God for the strength to do it. That's a gift that you can give back to Jesus. Any level or degree of serving other people, being a servant and not being someone that expects to be served, that's Jesus looking at your life and saying, now you're getting it. You're giving back what I saved you for. You're living the life that I've enabled you to live, and that glorifies me. That pleases me. The gift of serving others. Next, the gift of material things. Not opulence, but material things. Philippians 4:18. I have all and abound, he says. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. The things were sent from you. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. God is not looking for us just to give him items directly. He's looking for us to use our resources to benefit and to bless others in need. And by doing that, it's a gift to him. He enjoys that. The gift of material things. And last, the gift of praise. Hebrews 3:15 says, by him, by Jesus, notice that you have to have Jesus in your heart. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God at Christmas time. That's not what it says. It says continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. May the feelings and the spirit and the heart that we do sense at this time of year be not a surface, temporary, holiday, seasonal thing, but may it be a thing that we say, God, may I capture the sense of praise to you and continue to praise you all the year through. Anytime a song pops into your heart of a spiritual nature, a hymn from church, or sometimes for me, it's a tune I've never heard and probably no one else ever wants to hear, but it's a tune that I come up with in the shower or something like this when I'm walking home at the end of a day. Just a little tune will come into my mind. I'll add some words to it and just try to make up a little song and praise the Lord with it. Oh, it will never make money. It will never probably hit anyone else's ears, but I'll just tell God, I hope this is good enough. I probably will never remember this song again, but it's for you. Thank you, God, for all you are to me. Anytime you try to praise him with your lips, it's a sacrifice. And I'll tell you this, It's never your idea anyway. It's always an idea that God gave to you in the first place. So respond to it. Praise Him. And every gift I've talked about today, your body, the gospel, serving others, material things, and praise, all comes from Him anyway. It's only giving back what He gave us through the gift of His Son. Again, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, receive that gift today. Talk to someone that you know knows how to explain that to you. And let this be the day of receiving that gift of eternal life. And if you have received Him, consider giving back to Him this year, not just this day. Your body, a witness for the gospel, material things, serving others, and praise. I'm going to give you a chance in your heart to give back that final gift of praise.